Hello, and welcome to The Commissioner. My name is Randy Sawson. This episode is Lady Marmalade, featuring Christina Aguilera, Pink, Maya, Little Kim, and Missy Elliott.
Okay, so this, I guess the year was, it was 2001. So I actually got, this is a music video for the feature film Moulin Rouge, directed by Baz Luhrmann. And it was, starring Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman, amongst many others. John Leguizamo, I'm pretty sure, is in that movie as well. And I remember, the first time I heard the song, it was probably right around Christmas, New Year's, right in the first of the year. We didn't shoot the video until March, but they had been making the song and recording the song for a while. And it was obviously, when I was a kid, the LaBelle version was a big hit. So I knew the song. And then, you know, Christina and Pink, Maya, Lil' Kim, Missy were all big stars. So everyone knew the single was, you know, it was something. It was, even when the first time you heard it, it just felt like something, you know. But the only person that was signed to Interscope was Maya. So Christina was on, I think, RCA. Pink was on Arista. Lil' Kim was on Atlantic. Missy was on Elektra. But I was going to be commissioning the video. So, and all the other commissioners, everyone, you know, I think it was pretty well known in the industry of music videos that, you know, if your artist was on a soundtrack on a different label, then that person would do the video. There were a few exceptions with people who didn't like to work with other people, but most artists were pretty open to it. There wasn't a lot of that stuff going on. Most of the time it was, you know, it was hard to get artists on different labels. So, but this one worked out really well. And I immediately had this thought of a director who, you know, because of all the different personalities and the different management teams and the different, you know, all the people involved, I thought of a director who could handle the big personalities. And so I took this director to a screening early on the Fox lot, and it was pretty, it was, you know, they had assembled the movie, but it still had blue screen and stuff, but you could still tell it was this incredible movie, and the music and the way they told the story and the way they remade songs, and it was pretty spectacular. It was a, you know, it was one of those things. Even Baz had come to the screening afterwards and was making, oh, this isn't ready, that isn't ready. And I understand, like, there were some big holes in the movie where you could see they were still working on effects. And this is 2001, so it was a much more antiquated, computer-generated matte world. Even though there was computers, obviously, and things working, it was just, you know, almost 20 years ago, so things have rapidly increased in post-production, and everything has just become a much more de rigueur and how they do it and the level that they do it. So what he was doing and how he was doing it while at the time was cutting edge was still, you know, in today's world, a much different animal. So we saw the movie, and it was still a few months away. This was probably January. And then finally, as it was getting close, the movie was getting close, the soundtrack was getting close, the song was done. I had a conference call with the studio, and Christina's manager and Pink's manager, and I think Missy. I don't think Lil' Kim and Maya's management was on this particular call. They were involved in a lot of stuff, but on this particular call, but they had spoken with them. For some reason, they couldn't get on the call. But I remember everyone decided that they wanted a different director than I had thought. And I was okay with it. I thought, you know what? I think it's a great call as well. So everyone decided that they wanted to use Paul Hunter. And so, you know, I didn't see a problem with Paul. I've worked with Paul and find him to be an amazing director. So I was happy to work with him on this one. And, you know, He's pretty calm and good with artists. And I'll tell you stories as we go on, but who knew what this was going to be? It could have been an easy peasy, not easy. You know, I think this one fell somewhere in between. There were some intense moments, but overall it was just, you know, a lot of work, but it wasn't a nightmare video shoot. So I got with Paul Hunter and we went and screened the movie. And it was in a much better place. Like, they had done a lot of work and a lot of the comping was in there. And it was still a great movie. And you could just tell it was this work of art. But Paul and I kind of sat outside afterwards and he looked at me. It was this funny look. He looked at me with this kind of grin and almost like, who's going to say it first, you know? And he was like, that movie was incredible. I think that was cool. He's like, I don't think we can use any of the footage though in the music video. And I was thinking, I'm like, what? Like, you know, it was going to be a very expensive video. And Fox, who was the studio, was putting up half the money, which was north of $750,000 on their end. It was it ended up being a $1.6 million video. So each side put in, you know, $800,000. So, you know, for Fox to come up with $800,000 and not have their movie in the video was kind of a thing. But it wasn't like a no way. It was just kind of, I did agree with him though. I saw, you know, how incredible the movie was, but it was also with Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor and John Leguizamo. And at the time, it was, you know, it kind of like what it is today, although today there's a little more duality and blurred lines kind of stuff where things don't really, it's not, isn't it? But it just felt like on MTV in particular, where this video was going to play, and at a time where there wasn't YouTube and there wasn't access to video on your phones and all that stuff, basically you watched MTV and you saw a video and that's how you consumed music videos. There weren't a lot of people of that age, you know, Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor at the time were maybe in their early 30s. I don't know. Were they 20 years ago? Maybe late 20s, early 30s, but they weren't kids, you know? And so we were trying to figure out a way to make it so that it seemed like anyways that, you know, Christina, Pink, Lil' Kim, Maya, Missy Elliott were in the movie, even though we weren't going to use any film footage. So I remember talking to, I think it was Jeff Bywater and Robert Kraft were the two executives over at Fox, and explaining to them our thought process. And I, you know, Paul was like, basically left it to me to deal with this. But not in a bad way. He was, you know, onto coming up with the creative and doing the thing. And I mean, I think he would have done anything, right? He loved the song and loved the video, but his preference was not to do film footage. And so, you know, I think because the song was so big and the studio was in kind of a, this was one of those movies that, you know, like you just didn't know. You just like it was out of the box. It was so unique and such a cool thing. They went for it. They said, you know what? Let's see what it looks like. They weren't like no problem. They just were like, this is an incredible piece of art. And it was, and it is still to this day an amazing piece of art. The film itself. The video is an amazing piece of art as well. It's just, but it is a music video. You know, it's straight music video. I think Thomas Kloss was the DP on this one. I'm pretty sure he was. I don't know. I have to look that up. But anyways, Boz was obviously not happy about it. He was somewhat insulted. And he took it personally, which, you know, it was never meant to be that way at all. It had not, he made this beautiful work of art movie that was a standalone piece of art. And the video was just supposed to be a video, you know, to help sell, to get people to go see that piece of art, which ultimately it did. And it was. And the single was huge and the video was huge and it did do that. But we did agree. He had these curtains that he had, you know, used in the film that we agreed to fly in from Australia. that you see at the beginning, and we had to hang them and use them when Missy says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Moulin Rouge." Those are from the actual movie. Those are things, you know, like. So that was one of the things, like, he was like, okay, fine, but we have to have, like, props from the film in the video. And so we obviously agreed to that. So the prep for the video was kind of a big deal. There was a making of the video, so that was a lot of logistics dealing with MTV. So I think we've talked about this before just in the process of making a video, but in particular with artists, and definitely with glam artists, male or female, there's always a hair, there's makeup. And then depending on the artist, if there's dancing, there's a choreographer, there's a stylist, right? So we had it so each artist would have their own hair, makeup person, but we would have one choreographer because they all had to have one move, right? So Tina Landon was the one choreographer, and Trish Somerville was the costume designer for everybody. Just so that the look would be consistent. There was a little bit of pushback from some of the artists because obviously Pink wants her person and Maya wants their person. And, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with wanting your person. But in the end, everyone agreed that Trish would do it. And she did a great job, obviously. You know, if you look at it, you see each artist really shines through in their personality and what they wear. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously they had their own entourage and assistants and everything and trailers and different stuff like that. But there was basically like five sets of makeup, one stylist, one choreographer. And then that's how we got ready to shoot. So the shoot took place over 2 days. It was March 17th and 18th, 2001, in downtown Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Theater. As I said before, making the video was there. This was, you know, LA, downtown LA now is a pretty vibrant place and there's a lot going on there. It wasn't that way in 2001. It was just starting to get somewhat populated again. The theaters were the first thing to kind of get redone. And the Los Angeles Theater, while it wasn't in great shape, it was still in pretty good working condition. And so it had a big parking lot. So we were able to like house all production out there and utilize the facility itself for some in-house production and the grip trucks and all that, you know, put all that stuff kind of on site and on the streets. We started day one. The first scenes that we shot were the Maya scenes. We tried to shoot it somewhat sequentially, although there was a lot of stuff that had to get done on the stage with the girls. Where even though, and it does crescendo in the video with all four of them on the stage, and so we did do that at the end of the second day. But we did need to like get stuff done in silhouettes for the first day, and then try and get some stuff on the stage with all four girls by the end of the first day. So we started with Maya and did her scene, which was great. She was, you know, on it. And then we moved on to, I think it was Pink in the boudoir. And everyone had to get there and get through their hair and makeup and go through styling and do the thing. And so it was, you know, Maya was good. It took a while. It took a minute, but we got it. Pink was a little bit longer. Christina took a long time. It took a long, long time in day one for her. As I recall, it was like, I don't know. It was 10 hours probably, you know, which is a long time on a production. We didn't need her at the time, but it was still, there wasn't a point where she finished and came out. There was kind of a big deal and, you know, the making the video people were really, kind of, oh, we got to get Christina. We really want Christina. And again, I don't commission videos for Christina Aguilera. So I had very little control over, you know, how long it took her to get done or whether or not she would come out. So, you know, I went to her team and talked about it. And, you know, they like any good management team, they were like, she'll come out when she's ready to come out. And so eventually, like, we got like a 15-minute warning. She was going to come out. You know, we were kind of sitting around waiting. We had shot stuff on the stage, but each person had to do individual stuff on the main stage that we would later on shoot all four of the girls together. You know, while you're waiting around and waiting around and waiting around, you know, people do things. So Pink had like had done most of her stuff for the day, right? And I think at one point she rapped. But, you know, it was a cool video and MTV was there and it was this big thing and, you know, it was for this big movie. And so no one wanted to go home. And then Christina kind of came out of the trailer. And she, I mean, it was pretty shocking. It was amazing, but it was kind of shocking. It definitely was not the typical genie in a bottle, Christina Aguilera type thing. Like, she had this frizzy hair. It was almost like Twisted Sister kind of thing, where she had like her hair was teased out and her makeup was really extreme. So it was a thing, right? And everyone was, you know, it wasn't like anyone needed approval and no one had seen pictures of it before, but it was, took a minute for everyone to get adjusted to it. And so finally we get Christina to get, you know, on stage and we're doing some stuff. And, you know, it takes a minute, like first couple takes, you're warming up and you're doing and you're figuring it out and this needs to be louder and the dance move, like anything, you know, like no one comes on and does things perfectly. And so Pink had been sitting next to Paul and she had, you know, a couple drinks in her and I think it was like the third or fourth take and, you know, Paul was, you know, okay, that was great. Like, let this time, why don't you try and do it with this and maybe lean a little bit more. And Pink started yelling out some, comments. And I just thought it was funny. And she was kind of playing up for the cameras for MTV because they were there filming. I didn't honestly think anything of it, but it did not play well with Christina and her camp. We did it for a little bit more and Pink was doing it and kind of, you know, playing to the camera and doing fun things with making the video and pretending to be the director. And then, you know, we had about, I don't know, 45 minutes left to that, you know, in our day. And we had a bunch of stuff to shoot with Christina. And, we shot this one pretty good performance, you know, and we were finally starting to get somewhere where it was like, okay, now we got a thing and everything's going to be fine. And we're like, there's a vibe and we got the techno crane going in the right, making the right moves and she's hitting the mark and then the lights are working and the sync is working. And we finished the thing, we hit cut, and Christina just literally walked off stage, walked out of the arena, and that was it. Like, I'm like, oh, what happened? You know, maybe she had to use the restroom. but that wasn't the case. She was just had it with the Pink thing and just was like, I will not be taking her, you know, didn't say anything to me. She just laughed. And then her team came, well, somebody from her management team came up and said, because Irving Azoff is her manager and he had gone, the Eagles were actually playing, but I think it was the Hell Freezes Over tour. They were playing the Staples Center that night. So he was there earlier. They had a team, people that did, you know, did her day-to-day thing. And he left. And so somebody from her team came up and said, she's not coming back like today. And she may not come back tomorrow. She's not happy with the way this old production's going. And she does not like to be told by another artist what to do. And so then I was like, oh, okay. Nobody said anything. I'm so sorry. I will definitely make sure that doesn't happen again. And they were pretty, I don't want to say smug, but, you know, they were definitely not happy. And they were letting me know that, like, there may not be a video tomorrow. So just, and then my, this is 2001. So there was, you know, back in the day before the smartphones, you had a cell phone, which is a thing. But then there was that Motorola two-way pager that was kind of the thing everyone used in the business. And so I got a text from Irving that basically said, good luck with your shoot tomorrow. We won't be coming back. And I'm like, oh no, it was just a misunderstanding. And then, you know, nothing. He didn't respond. He was basically just saying, fuck you. So I called Craig Logan, and he totally got it. He was not, you know, trying to do anything other than like, hey, listen, she Pink was in a really good mood and she meant nothing by it. And I am so sorry. And she is feels terrible. And this is not, you know. So I said, listen, I get it. Any help you can do in helping, you know, talk to Irving and Christina's team to let them know that that wasn't the case, you know, would be appreciated. And so they did. And you know, they didn't – Irving and people said, we'll see. You know, like let it sit for tonight. We'll see tomorrow. The MTV people had left already when this all went down. And they were like, you know, oh, I heard something. I heard we're not having a video tomorrow. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But you did miss some fun things and – you should have been here. And then they were like, yeah, we probably couldn't use it anyway. So, but anyways, we show up the next day. And, you know, everyone's a little panicked, you know. We knew we had planned to only have Missy there for one day because she really is just in the beginning of the video, right? She says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Moulin Rouge. She produced the track, but she's not really on the track. So we had just planned to have Missy there for, you know, 5 hours because and she was really busy, so it worked out fine. So you know, we all show up for day two. Everyone's kind of whatever. I think I remember, you know, making sure that we got some flowers, and then Pink had actually had flowers sent as well to everybody, apologizing and saying so sorry I was out of hand last night, which was a super classy move, you know. And then Missy showed up and we got her on the MTV thing and, you know, just kind of every, you know, for me, putting a brave face forward. And then eventually I got a call, like, I don't know, probably 15, 20 minutes before Christina showed up that she would in fact be there, that she was going to try, she was going to come today. You know, she was late, but she was going to come and that there can't be any more of that kind of bullshit, you know. And I you know, totally said, of course not. Sorry. Didn't know. Had you told me there was an issue, I would have taken care of it earlier. And so there was kind of like a everyone understood what was going to go on. And there was a little bit of a thing. And you know, whatever she wanted, you know, she had a pretty big entourage. So she wanted, I don't remember, some video games and stuff. So we were like, yes, 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 of course. Just come, please come, 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 come. And so she did. And she was much faster because I think they had made a lot of creative decisions on day one. So we got her out and filming and we got everyone on stage and they were all nice to one another. And then we did and then everyone showed up, like Irving showed up and Jimmy showed up and Jim Giannopoulos, who at the time was the chairman of Fox Studios, showed up. And then we did the whole fall, four of them doing the dance routine and the confetti. And so it all actually went really, really well once we got everyone there and working. And then we wrapped on time, as I recall, we wrapped on time. And everything went, was in the end, everything was good. Everyone, like Christina did a great, if you see the making the video, you'll see she was much more in a much better mood on day two. Everyone was in a pretty good place. You would never know any of this if you watched the making the video. It just looks like everyone showed up and it was perfect, you know, which is kind of what they do. And I respect them for that, you know. It's probably, that's why they make podcasts now, so we can tell you the real story. But yeah, everything was, we did, like I said, it was late night, but we did wrap on time, as I recall, on day two. There, as I recall, there was a little bit of talk again about like, hey, are you sure you don't want to put film footage in this? And Paul was obviously very adamant about it, and I backed him up completely. And we said no, because the footage looked amazing. And then, as I recall, we got a cut. It took a couple of days extra. It took a while. But when we got the cut, I remember putting it in. I was nervous, obviously. But I, you know, usually I, you know, would get a cut and something of this size, it would be like make my changes and then show it. But it was pretty close. There was they did a great job with the edit. I don't know the editor, maybe I'd have to talk to Paul, but I don't remember. That's Dustin Robertson did it, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it was a really good first cut. And so, you know, we made copies, sent it out to everyone. People had some vanity changes from the artist, but for the most part, the where things were stayed where they were. Maybe this type of shot or the close up or far away stayed. There was one little issue where Christina does the ad lib during Lil Kim's verse, and you know, Kim's camp, as they're called, didn't want that in there. But Christina's camp really did. And if you watch the video, you can see that Christina did win out on that one. Lil Kim, they weren't mad. I think they were just more like, how come she's encroaching on this section? But when you watch the video now, 18, 19 years later, you see why, because it's like she says that line and it's the first time you really see her in a close up of a performance. It wasn't strictly vanity. It was for a conceptual introduction of the artist into the video performance part of it. But yeah, I remember, you know, like we did some things, we did some beauty work, and then delivered the video. And it was this was another one of those videos that it just clicked. It worked. The song worked, the video worked. It helped sell soundtracks. It helped sell tickets to the movie. The movie did well for a movie that in today's world, I don't know what it would do. I'm not saying it wouldn't do well. It just wouldn't be a no-brainer, you know, because it's not the straight, although it is a movie content, you know, like right now, Rocket Man's a big hit and Bohemian Rhapsody was just a big hit last year with A Star Is Born being something. So, the you know, movies with music, but this is more of like a specific musical based on time, and I'm not saying you couldn't do it, but I don't know, whatever it is, it did work, you know. The video, like I said, went into heavy rotation on MTV. It won two VMAs, right? It won Video of the Year in 2001 and Best Video. I think it also won Best Video from a Film. It was nominated for like six. It was like nominated for Best Dance, Best Pop, Best Choreography, Best Art Direction. It didn't win all those, but I think it won. Yeah, it won definitely Video of the Year and Best Video from a Film. So I know it won two. Recently that Ed Sheeran was wanting to remake the video with Bruno Mars and Justin Bieber, which I think would be an amazing idea. I would love to see that. I'm not sure that it works or that it is a thing, but just because I worked so hard on this video and, you know, I love the song. I think the song is a great song, so it would be fun to see. But yeah, this was one of those videos that at the time you knew it was special. And now looking back on it some 18, 19 years later, it was special. And it was a moment in time. And we did do some pretty, pretty amazing things. I won't tell you that cinematically it was like groundbreaking, because I wouldn't kill myself. And it wasn't supposed to be, you know, like the film itself was, the video was, you know, had a real purpose, and that was to showcase the girls and the song and the sexuality and sensuality of the Moulin Rouge, because ultimately it is about a prostitute and a John and a story. And so there is sensuality and sexuality and lustfulness and everything. And trying to do that in a, you know, some at the time, somewhat, you know, modern twist, but it also having the, you know, the Moulin Rouge era vibe, so that there was the boudoir and the courtier, the courtiers, you know, like just trying to get all that. And so it was definitely a art piece, a beauty piece with that needed to have, you know, some rhythm and movement. And Paul did an amazing job at that, you know, I'm not saying it in a bad way. It wasn't supposed to be an art piece or, you know, some sort of Kubrick ode to like cinema. It was beautifully shot and beautifully choreographed. Yeah. Beautifully shot, beautifully choreographed, incredibly edited, you know, like all the, like A+ for everything. And that's why it holds the test of time. Go watch the video. You should watch it. It's in the link. Or if not, just go onto YouTube and check it out. It really is something, and something I'm proud of.
So that brings us to the end of episode 3, Lady Marmalade, featuring Christina Aguilera, Pink, Maya, Lil Kim, Missy Elliott. Hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking a ride down the old memory lane. Just listening back to some of the stuff I recorded, I guess the word is corset. You know, I couldn't figure out what I was saying, but it was corset is what I wanted to say. That's it. My name is Randy Sawson. This is The Commissioner. Thank you for listening. As always, I'll leave you with this. Turning up the volume is like zooming in, but with sound.